This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
They're rooted in communal values, and those people are tied to the land. They have become the backbone of multinational corporations who export bananas, coffee, and sugar to the United States. And as such, they've been squeezed from their ancestral lands, reduced to small farming plots below the subsistence level, subjected to horrific work conditions. And when they've resisted, they've been nearly exterminated. And because of the power of the multinational corporations involved in farming in Guatemala, involved in exploring and exploiting Guatemala's natural resources and fertile lands, because of the power of those corporations, the U.S. government got involved in Guatemala's politics and internal affairs and actually provided material aid and training to assist in the attempted extermination, the genocide of the Guatemalan indigenous people. So we're here to talk tonight with documentary filmmaker Pamela Yates, who was filming in Guatemala during one of the rebellions of the Guatemalan Maya, and learned that the film she made there had implications for the now ongoing trial of former dictator Efrain Rios Montt of Guatemala. So we're going to get to that in a few minutes, but now we want to cover a little news.
And in the news in the New York Times today, the U.S. Justice Department has released a judge's ruling on a Salvadoran general. The Justice Department has released a United States immigration judge's ruling ordering the deportation of a former high-ranking Salvadoran military officer over his role in the 1980 rape and murder of four American churchwomen and other crimes there. The court had initially said that releasing the documentation would invade the privacy of the retired officer, General Carlos Casanova, a former defense minister of El Salvador and an ally of the American military during the Civil War there in the 1980s. He immigrated to Florida legally after his retirement from the military in 1989. Since the generals moved to Florida, relatives of the four slain churchwomen who are American, whose murder stunned Americans and helped focus attention on El Salvador, as well as other victims of torture there, those relatives have sought his deportation to El Salvador. Now, the general, in court papers, has argued that he should not be deported for actions he took during the Civil War because at that time he was, quote, relying on the advice, military, and financial assistance of the United States government, which was fully cognizant of the conduct of the Salvadoran military and National Guard units.
And from Amnesty International, I wanted to bring you a story about Guatemala's war on women. This was from January of 2013. Despite promises made by successive presidents to fight crime and violence against women and a law passed by Guatemalan Congress in 2008 for the establishment of special tribunals and sentencing guidelines, the figures continue to tell a different story. In 2012 alone, and according to official figures, around 560 women were murdered across Guatemala, many after being sexually assaulted. Most cases are not effectively investigated, and less than 4% of all homicides in Guatemala result in perpetrators being convicted. These are sobering stories, and I want to let you know that the news is not all bad. There's great hope coming from Guatemala, and also much that American citizens, U.S. American citizens, need to learn about Guatemala and making choices in our own marketplace to better affect the conditions of people there. We're going to open the phone lines after we hear from Pamela Yates, documentary filmmaker, so that'll be in a little bit. But first, we're going to go to some music.
Me gusta andar, pero no sigo el camino, pues lo seguro ya no tiene misterio. Me gusta ir con el verano muy lejos, pero volver donde mi madre en invierno y ver los perros que jamás me olvidaron y los abrazos que me dan mis hermanos. Me gusta. Me gusta. Claro que me gusta. Me gusta el sol, Alicia y las palomas, el buen cigarro y las malas señoras, saltar paredes y abrir las ventanas y las muchachas en abril. Me gusta el vino tanto como las flores y los amantes, pero no los señores. Me encanta ser amigo de los ladrones y el mar mojándome los pies. No soy de aquí ni soy de allá, no tengo edad ni porvenir, y ser feliz es mi color de identidad. No soy de aquí, ni soy de...
And that was a famous song by Facundo Cabral, an Argentinian folk singer. Now, he became a little more well-known this past year. He was murdered in Guatemala City, and his murder sparked indignation across Latin America, and people started really looking at the violence in Guatemala and Guatemala City and seeing how that was related to discharged soldiers from the Guatemalan Civil War.
And I want to just give a little introduction for Pamela Yates. She really needs no introduction. She's a U.S. Documentary filmmaker born and raised in the Appalachian coal mining region of Pennsylvania, but ran away at the age of 16 to live in New York City. She's a co-founder of Skylight Pictures, a company dedicated to creating films and digital media tools that advance awareness of human rights and the quest for justice by implementing multi-year outreach campaigns designed to engage, educate, and activate social change. As a director, she made When the Mountains Tremble in 1983. It was the film of the Guatemalan genocide. She's made Poverty Outlaw, Takeover, The Reckoning, Battle for International Criminal Court. That was nominated for the Grand Jury Prize at Sundance Film Festival. And When the Mountains Tremble won the Special Jury Award in 1984. Her film, State of Fear, The Truth About Terrorism, has been translated into 47 languages and broadcast in 154 countries. Her most recent directorial effort, The Reckoning, Battle for the International Criminal Court, is an epic tale about the first six tumultuous years of the International Criminal Court, filmed across four continents in six languages over 4 years. She was awarded a Guggenheim Fellowship in support of her current Sundance offering, the film we'll be talking about tonight, Granito, a feature-length documentary that is part political thriller, part memoir, transporting audiences through a riveting, haunting tale of genocide and justice spanning four decades. She's also directed the development of Granito Every Memory Matters, a transmedia project using mobile applications to restore the collective memory of the Guatemalan genocide.
And as you listen to the interview, if you'd like to join the discussion, write down this number. It's 503-231-8187.
Pamela Yates, what drew your attention to Guatemala in 1982?
Well, I had been working as a sound recordist on other people's films and on news reports in El Salvador and Nicaragua. When I heard about the war beginning, the rebellion beginning in Guatemala, it was a very hidden war, and I knew that Guatemalan journalists were trying to cover the story, and that many of them were being killed. And when international journalists tried to get into the country, they were repelled. They were sent back from the airport. So I thought this would be a very important story to tell. And at the same time, I was also reading this seminal book called Bitter Fruit by two American journalists. Bitter Fruit is a really engaging story, a very important story, of the role of the United States in Guatemala in 1954, when the U.S. overthrew the democratically elected president, Jacobo Arbenz. And I hadn't known the story in detail before, and I read it, and it made me so angry at my own country, and that the overthrow of Jacobo Arbenz in 1954 meant that a string of military dictatorships had ruled Guatemala. So the legacy of military dictatorships is clearly tied to the overthrow of Jacobo Arbenz. And I thought, as an American citizen, this was an important story to tell for the world, but also especially for the United States. Could this story affect U.S. policy in Guatemala and in Central America?
So that was your intention from the outset, is to try and impact policy.
Well, many, many layers. You know, I wanted to impact policy. I always, I guess I'm an optimist when it comes to my fellow Americans and citizens around the world, that if they only know the truth, they will act, and they will act in a moral way. And I was a young filmmaker. I was very idealistic. I believed that it was important to bring this story to the rest of the world. Could this help stem the violence in Guatemala?
So when you went in, I understand you went in under the sham military elections, bringing in international media. How and when did you realize that you were witnessing much more than the hidden war you'd thought about?
I think as soon as I left the capital city, Guatemala City, I began to understand what was going on. But the war itself and the fact that it was a genocide wasn't immediately obvious, because people were so afraid that they wouldn't talk to me. It took me about 2 months to get to the point where I could even get people from civil society to speak with me on camera. So it was a gradual unfolding. I knew that there was a lot of repression. I knew that the Maya people were being targeted. But at that time, we didn't know that it was a genocide, is what we now know.
And when did that realization dawn on you?
Well, it was really not until the Guatemalan Truth Commission, the Comisión para el Esclarecimiento Histórico, made its findings public in 1998, that they categorized the investigation and the uncovering of facts as genocidal acts committed against the Maya people. Until then, we knew it was bad, but we didn't know that it was a targeted killing with the legal definition of genocide. This was a very important moment, because it set the legal precedent for the rulings and the judicial cases that we're now seeing come down in Guatemala, including the trial of Efraín Ríos Montt on charges of genocide.
Wow, so that must have been quite a moment to realize, after the Truth Commission came out, that you had witnessed something so momentous, so horrible. I want to let our viewers know that the film you made of that trip is When the Mountains Tremble. And did it accomplish what you intended?
You know, we contributed to a growing, vibrant movement to stop U.S. military intervention in Central America. The film was shown all over the world. Rigoberta Menchú, who's the central storyteller in When the Mountains Tremble, traveled with the film all over the world. And yet, we weren't able to stem the violence in Guatemala. The killings continued, and U.S. intervention in Central America continued. And this is something that has weighed very heavily on me over three decades. You know, did I do enough to stop the violence in Guatemala? Did we do enough to stop the violence in Guatemala?
I hear that through the entire film. Granito is the questioning. Did we do enough, and what is enough, and how do you insert your responsibilities as an individual into the web of history? Do you have any thoughts about that now that Ríos Montt is in trial in Guatemala City, now that there seems to be a bit of turning toward addressing what happened?
Yes, I think that life rarely gives you second chances, and when life does give you a second chance, then you have to grab it with both fists. And in this case, 30 years after filming an interview with General Ríos Montt, that interview is being used as forensic evidence in the genocide case in Guatemala. And so that is very satisfying. Of course, you know, it's that effort, along with many other Guatemalan and international allies' efforts that have brought us to this moment. But in the last 3 years, there have been more arrests and convictions for crimes perpetrated in Guatemala than in the previous 30 years. So there's a justice initiative going on and gaining momentum that is so important for the international community to support.
And why did you name your current film Granito?
Because when I was making When the Mountains Tremble, and I was up in the mountains with the guerrillas resisting the military dictatorship, I kept asking them, why are you out in the mountains, deprived of food, deprived of shelter, risking your life? And so many of them said to me, I just want to add mi granito, my tiny grain of sand, mi granito de arena, to liberate my country and to end the military dictatorship. And I took that thought with me and that phrase with me throughout my filmmaking career, that none of us can do it all and that it takes many, many, many individuals to make positive social change. And because this new film, Granito, is also about documentary filmmaking and the lessons I've learned along the way, I thought that Granito would be an apt title and a tribute to the Guatemalan people that I met and making my first feature-length documentary film.
Well, having just taken my first trip to Guatemala a couple of weeks ago,
yes,
I think it's just such an apt description of the indigenous culture that, I heard in Granito, Gustavo Maoño talk about the values of the indigenous people and the contrast between those solid values and their suffering and exclusion. And then Rigoberta Menchú talking with you about what Granito means, and she says, when the hand of destiny touches you, you have to act. However, we can only each do a bit. And I found that just an amazingly apt description of this culture that just is something I had never dreamed I would see. This people that hangs on to a culture despite long, long attempts to exterminate them.
Right, and is really steeped in the communal values.
Absolutely.
Of living together.
Absolutely. You know, in Granito, and I noticed on the Skylight website and in press coverage, you seemed surprised that your outtakes from When the Mountains Tremble could be used and be useful in prosecuting General Rios Montt. Were you surprised?
I was surprised. You know why? Because when you make a film, you remember everything that you put into the film, but you forget everything that you took out of the film. And, you know, back in 1982 and 1983, when we were editing When the Mountains Tremble, I never thought that General Rios Montt would fall from power. I didn't know that I had actually filmed something that was an admission of the chain of command liability, the whole legal theory of the chain of command liability, that the person at the top orders something to be done, like a massacre, down through ranks. The people at the bottom of the ranks do it, and then they report back up to the president and the head of the armed forces. That legal precedent hadn't been established yet. It hadn't been established in international law or in much domestic law. And so I didn't understand what I had. In fact, I didn't even put that really damning evidence into When the Mountains Tremble, the original film, because I didn't know. But now Skylight Pictures over the years has specialized in films about human rights and the quest for justice. So we've done a number of films having to do with justice and the law and international law. And so when we went back to look through the outtakes, it immediately jumped out at us.
And it's quite, for our listeners, it is quite a stunning scene from the outtakes that this man is so puffed up and clearly disregards your importance completely.
Completely.
And very boastfully admits to his power.
Absolutely, because he never thought he would fall from power either.
Yeah.
And he never thought people would actually find out what's happening or what happened. And yet the Guatemalans never gave up on this quest for justice. They spent the last 30 years gathering the evidence and uncovering what actually happened. And so eventually it's his demise.
You mentioned in the film that Guatemala City 30 years ago was an extremely dangerous place. And having just been there, it's an extremely dangerous place now. And the film talks about how people like Freddy Pacciarelli and his co-workers doing forensic anthropology are still being threatened and even disappeared for identifying bodies and uncovering evidence of the genocide. This is 17 years from the peace accord. Who else is worried besides Rios Montt, do you think, that they may be found out and prosecuted?
All of the people that committed, that were part of the genocide, that were part of committing crimes against humanity and war crimes, they should be very, very worried, all the way down through the ranks. I really do think so. I also wanted to say, though, that the political violence of the past has often morphed into drug trafficking violence in the present, which is another reason why Guatemala is so dangerous. And that's because the impunity of the past was never addressed. So you could kill someone and get away with it. Today you can kill someone and get away with it. They have very low arrest or conviction rates in Guatemala. So that's why this justice initiative taking place today is so important. Because if that culture of impunity can be addressed, there's a chance for Guatemala to become a much safer place.
And can you speak a little more about the culture of impunity? And this is a new concept to me. It's spoken of in Guatemala as though it's a thing rather than a word that we would use in the United States, impunity. It seems like an era that's spoken of and truly was. Can you speak a little more about what impunity means in Central America?
Yeah, impunity means that you can get away with anything, with any crime that you commit, that you won't be caught. And if you're caught, you probably won't be tried. And if you're tried, you probably won't be convicted. So if that means that it's a lawless place. And until people can see that their country abides by rule of law, it's going to be very difficult to make it safe and secure for the normal citizen.
This is Bread and Roses. We're speaking with filmmaker Pamela Yates, whose film Granito helped bring a dictator to trial. If you'd like to join the discussion after this interview, call us at 503-231-8187.
What do you believe is the U.S.'s role now in Central American politics, particularly in Guatemala? I know that the School of the Americas has morphed into something else, and they are still providing military training, quote-unquote, and assistance to the Guatemalan military. Do you know of, can you describe more of what the U.S. role is currently and what you think of it?
Sure. I think that there can be a dual role for the United States. You know, I really came of age during the growth of the contemporary human rights movement worldwide. I remember first hearing the phrase human rights when President Carter was president, and he had a cabinet-level minister who was in charge of human rights. And I know that President Clinton went to Guatemala in 1999 and gave a public apology about what the United States had done to contribute to training and arming the Guatemalan army during the worst days of the counterinsurgency campaign and the genocide. Subsequent ambassadors, U.S. ambassadors to Guatemala, have gone to some of the court cases. These are all very important steps, and I really think we should all pressure our government officials to do so. There's a big letter-writing campaign now to Ambassador Chacon, who is the U.S. ambassador to Guatemala, to please go to the Rios Montt trial. Show your face there. It's an admission that the United States was involved and that the United States wants to see justice done in Guatemala. The United States has been also a big supporter of the Commission to End Impunity in Guatemala, the CICIG, a supporter and a funder. These are to investigate contemporary crimes, but it's also to address this past culture of impunity in Guatemala. That being said, the United States has cut off some military assistance to Guatemala, has not been reinstated. And there is a move on the part of the Guatemalans and the new president, Otto Perez Molina, to reinstate that. I think that should be resisted. The new president, as many of your listeners may know, was a former military man. First, he was a colonel in 1982 in the Nabok garrison, which is in the Ishio region. Much of When the Mountains Tremble and Granito was filmed in the Ishio region. And the genocide trial being heard right now is a trial against the Ishil Maya. So he was there. There's no evidence that's been uncovered tying him to any of these acts yet. But then he went on to become general, and then he went on to become elected the president of Guatemala. So he is really trying to go out and around the world as a statesman representing Guatemala. And I think we have to look very carefully at what he's doing, why he's doing it, and why he wants to reopen military assistance from the U.S. to Guatemala.
Absolutely. In fact, on some internet coverage of the Rios Montt trial, it was stated Otto Perez Molina, he states unequivocally he does not believe a genocide occurred.
That's right. He says there was no genocide. It was a counterinsurgency war, and both sides suffered deaths, and both sides inflicted deaths. But that really belies the magnitude of the role that the state played, because this, according to the Truth Commission, the state was responsible for 93% of the killings in Guatemala. That is huge, and that the guerrilla forces were responsible for 3%. So can you even call it a war? You see in When the Mountains Tremble and in Granito, the guerrilla forces were very badly armed. They could not stand up to the Guatemalan army. And when the Guatemalan army came into the places that they held, they weren't able to defend the civilian population. They had to retreat because they couldn't stand up to them. So they're not comparable sides in the war.
Right. So Perez Molina says everyone killed everyone. People should live in peace now and forget it, pretty much.
If any of your listeners read or listen to any of the coverage of the trial that's going on now, they will hear civilian witnesses testifying to seeing massacres in their villages and seeing civilians singled out and killed.
Absolutely. In fact, I think there have been about 12 witnesses a day, and the stories coming out of that trial are absolutely horrific.
And that is the whole thrust of the prosecution's case. That civilians were targeted and they were executed, and that they weren't combatants.
So your recommendation then for what people in this country can do is to attend the trial, to get in touch with the ambassador.
To convince the ambassador that he should attend the trial as our representative in Guatemala.
And to resist the provision of reinstitution of military assistance to Guatemala.
That's right.
I wanted to ask you further, in listening to the stories coming out of the trial, I understand that Skylight and or you yourself have a memory project that you're working on. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, every film that we do, every feature-length documentary we do, is like the flagship film for a number of other media offerings. So, and we always have a companion digital project with all our feature-length films. So with Granito, the companion digital project is called Granito, Every Memory Matters. It's on the web at granitomem.com. It's kind of bilingual, right? Granito Memoria or granitomemory.com. And while we were in Guatemala filming Granito, a lot of people asked us to come and show When the Mountains Tremble. And we did. And the people that came to the screenings were usually in their 20s and 30s, and they were so amazed at seeing the whole story of what had actually happened in Guatemala in the 1980s, because they're not taught it in school. They're not taught it in high school nor in college. And so they would want to stay for 2, 3, 4 hours talking about what happened. They knew how it had affected their family, but they didn't know the whole story. And it was really from these conversations that we got the idea to do this memory project, where young people would, with mobile devices, interview their elders and their family and try to add memories of what had actually happened. That way people could both add memories and access memories of what had happened during the time of the genocide. I think also when you make a documentary film, if it has an emotional effect, you want a place for people to go with that emotion. Because emotion without activism is meaningless. So we try to create these places, because we can't be with the film at every single screening, we try to create these places where people can actually go and continue and dig deeper and get involved and tell their story, because Granito provides a very safe place for people to tell their stories.
And it is a remarkable site. I've looked at it, and it's growing, slowly growing, and I think it's actually a great place for listeners to check in for firsthand accounts of what happened and what the long-term impacts have been.
Right, and we're also filming the trial. We have the next generation of Skylight Pictures filmmakers there filming the trial. So we're posting a lot on our Granito Film Facebook page. You can see pictures every day from the trial.
And, you know, we were just in Guatemala, my partner and I, and met a huge number of indigenous women. And we found that, indeed, they do know about the war, but they haven't been taught much about why it happened, what happened. Mm. They know how it impacted them locally. They talk about a new era, and they sort of make a pun on the Mayan calendar change as being the new era. But with the end of the Baktun, that there's a new era that they have hope that I didn't expect to hear going to Guatemala. Have you heard some of that hope as well?
Yes. In fact, when I went to Guatemala to make Granito, I thought that I would find a country of really depressed individuals. And instead, I found that the same kind of creativity and energy that I had encountered there when I made When the Mountains Tremble was still alive and well. People had gone from that kind of struggle into a more civil society kind of struggle, but their ideas were still the same, and they wouldn't give up. It was amazing.
I thought,
how can I be like depressed or upset when they are carrying on?
That's what I felt like too. It's you know, in some villages we saw more white faces from the U.S. coming to provide aid that they had neither asked whether the people needed or wanted, but came in droves to provide aid. And these indigenous people are just saying, you know, we're professionals. We regard women who practice the traditional arts as professional in their own right. The emergence of a very respectful, education-loving, progressive culture, which, you know, I was stunned. And seeing the aid groups, people of my own skin color coming in and trying to tell these people how to live lives after they've spent thousands of years surviving and have been the victim of attempted extermination was a little bit humbling, in fact, a lot
right.
humbling. Did you have anything you wanted to add about advice you might give to young filmmakers, young documentary filmmakers?
Yes, that, you know, Granito is really a love letter to the next generation of emerging social justice filmmakers, that what you do is really important and what you do can have impact. Maybe not always in the ways that you thought it would, but it's so important to document. And to really become passionate about that documentation. I would also say that now it's important to think about what kind of audience you want your film to reach and what kind of impact the film can have while you're making the film. Look around you. Who else is working on this subject? How can they become your impact partners? How can you let them know about the film now so when the film is released, they're poised to use it and use it in their work? These are all kinds of new strategies that documentary filmmakers, committed documentary filmmakers, have been developing over the past 10 or 15 years that I really think has elevated the field in terms of how stories can make a difference.
You know, you've conducted workshops for young developing documentary filmmakers in Guatemala, haven't you?
We have, yes, at the Casa Comal, which is a training ground and a production company, very pro-Guatemala cinema, pro-Guatemalan filmmakers. And they have a great film festival there called the Icaro Film Festival every year, which has now gone on as a traveling film festival around Central America.
Are they endangering themselves to film on current social issues and strive for social justice?
Well, everyone's taking a risk, no matter what they do. And in countries where the culture of impunity is greater, you're taking a greater risk. And yet the Guatemalans continue to do it.
And throughout the Project Granito and When the Mountains Tremble, who were your heroes?
Who were my heroes? Well, Rigoberta Menchú is a big hero of mine. She's also a really close personal friend. So, you know, it's funny to say that she's a hero of mine. And yet, I look out at what she's been able to accomplish throughout her life. She's never given up on trying to find the disappeared. she's never given up on trying to make sure that justice happens to those who perpetrated, and she's never given up on trying to create peace in the Americas, especially for the indigenous people living there. So I would say she is a great hero of mine. Actually, all of the people in Granito, all of the Granitos, or Granitas, as we call them, are heroes of mine. That's why I chose them to be in the film, and that's why I chose them to be the voices in the film.
Well, I think for myself, as someone who's now 56, and my partner, who both tried to make changes in Central American policy during the 70s and 80s, you're definitely a hero of ours.
Thank you so much.
These films are fabulous. Listeners, please do get them, and not only get them, but take in the message and act on it. Pamela Yates, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And you're with Bread and Roses. We've just heard from Pamela Yates, documentary filmmaker, who directed and produced When the Mountains Tremble, 1983, and Granito, How to Nail a Dictator. Both of those films are available. I know that Netflix has When the Mountains Tremble. Granito has been shown periodically for free on PBS on the web. And go ahead and Google it and find them. You will be glad you did. Some resources from our conversation with Pamela Yates. Skylight.is. On the web, you can find Granito information at granitomem.com. You can find the Memory Project. Some of the books that she recommended, Bitter Fruit, The Story of the American Coup in Guatemala by Stephen Schlesinger and Stephen Kinzer. The latest edition was 2005. Another book I recommend, I, Rigoberta Menchú, An Indian Woman in Guatemala, tells the story of Nobel Peace Prize winner Rigoberta Menchú and the events that led to the genocide, as well as surviving that, she and her family's story. Another great resource is the National Security Archive. This is an independent, non-governmental research institute and library located at George Washington University. The Guatemalan Project there is directed by Kate Doyle. She is featured in Granito, the film. There is much to read there, not only the Guatemala Project, but a lot of other information coming out of Freedom of Information Act and the analysts at the National Security Archive. So check that out at gwu.edu and search for National Security Archive.
And we're going to take a short musical pause. And while we do, think about a discussion about what we just heard. The number to call in is 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. What role do each of us have in creating a different world? Are we those grains of sand? Have we done enough? What is the role of the United States in intervention then and now? A lot of implications to this trial that's not being reported on. So think about that and give us a call.
Vamos a cantar todo junto. Gracias. Vamos.
Ahora vamos a cantar todo.
Todo junto, por favor. Gracias. Muchas gracias.
Que el amor no me sea indiferente, que el
That was Mercedes Sosa, a song, Solo le pidió a Dios, that was very popular in the Nueva Canción movement that was very popular in 1970s and 80s in Central America and South America. So we've been talking about Guatemala and what's been going on right now in Guatemala City is a very underreported story. There is a genocide trial going on of a former dictator, Rios Montt. And he was brought to power with the help of the United States. It's very well documented. And every day in Guatemala City, there are dozens of survivors of the violence who are testifying. And what we know is that he is being tried for the murder of 1,771 indigenous Maya in a certain mountain region. 38% of the remains recovered at the massacre sites were children. And in the trial so far, it's been going on about a week. The current president of Guatemala has been implicated. They expect 100 people to testify. You can find out more about the trial at riosmonttrial.org. It is the first genocide case brought in a national court against a former ruler, and it's important in the international justice system for the transparent way it proceeds. People hope this will be a model for neighbors such as El Salvador, where no ranking official has been charged in the thousands of civilian deaths in the 1980s, including six Jesuit priests and their housekeepers, along with many church women. The United States was also quite involved after a 1982 meeting with General Rios Montt in Guatemala City. President Ronald Reagan defended the general, saying he got a bum rap. Washington then authorized the sale of military equipment to Guatemala, including UE helicopters, the kind that were used to attack Mayans during the war. So we'd love to hear from you at 503-231-8187, and we have
LJ. Go ahead, LJ.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for the show. Thank you for starting the dialogue. I'm with the Elders Caucus of Occupy, and we were talking about this today at our meeting. Brian Wilson, I don't know if you know him or not.
Yes.
Brian Wilson is one of the elders, and we're talking about this very topic today. We all know what the role of the Imperial Empire is and always will be. So there's really nothing much that we can do in as far as changing anything. The only thing that we can do really is to create dialogue and talk to each other. And I think as elders, we have a responsibility because we're walking history. We have a responsibility to share this with the youth, share these stories, etc.
I thank you for your call. I agree with you totally.
And just one more quick thing. Perhaps a truth and reconciliation kind of thing might help foster a better dialogue.
I agree. And
so thank you so much for taking my call. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We recently traveled to Guatemala and were very surprised, not at the numbers of U.S. citizens traveling there for vacations, but the lack of awareness of what had happened there and the U.S. role in it. Most of the people we talked to, young Americans, had no idea that there'd been a civil war there.
And that they were vacationing at the site of many massacres, actually. So my hope is that certainly for young people traveling to Guatemala, it's a wonderful, fantastic, beautiful country to travel to. is inform yourself and respect the people of Guatemala and of Central America by learning a bit of history. And certainly this trial in Skylight Pictures gives us a lot of resources. But something LJ said sort of resonates. Again, if you'd like to join the discussion, call us at 503-231-8187. You know, when you live in the United States, we so often feel we can't do anything. But I think one of the messages I get from the trial in Guatemala of the dictator who was responsible for the murder of thousands of Mayan Indians is that the idea of granito, that we're all, that each one can be that grain of sand, that we can all work together. And someday, maybe it's 30 years from now, justice will happen.
Well, and I think what LJ said, it is... Something I hope won't happen. I don't think the imperial power is destined to be in the same position forever. And I think one of the ways that we combat the imperialism, the chauvinism of our own country is awareness. And it's something that Pamela Yates said in her interview: emotion without action is useless. How do we act? What is enough? Choosing local food. Am I saying stop eating bananas? Maybe not, but maybe we need to find fair trade bananas grown by smaller producers. We can call the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador, and in Guatemala, and ask him to witness the trial, to be present for the trial. There are a number of efforts in this country to make sure that witnesses from the states go to watch the trial, and we want to encourage that. And to make sure that our government resists providing military aid to the current president of Guatemala, who was implicated in the genocide and is suspected to want military aid to try it again.
Yeah, it's just such a, when you start thinking about the lessons of this country, Guatemala, and U.S. interventionism in Central America, there's a lot to think about, especially what's happening now with our intervention all around the world, whether it's Iraq or Afghanistan, and how we need to learn. The idea of Pamela Yates, the filmmaker, saying she's been wondering, did she do enough? She had made this film, When the Mountains Tremble, and wondered, did she do enough? Are we doing enough to close Guantanamo? Will we, you and I, be judged in the future for not doing so?
And we have Joe on the line.
Yes, I have a question about a couple of U.S. officials. Whenever I listen to David Barsamian's production of Alternative Radio, and his speakers talk about the ravages in Central America in general, two names keep coming up over and over again from that period of time. One is John Negroponte, and the other one is Otto Reich. I'm wondering if you can comment on the role of either one of these guys.
I do know that on Democracy Now!, which of course plays twice daily on KBOO at 7 o'clock and 4 o'clock, the Guardian newspaper actually did a great investigative story on these officials who are actually still very active. They were active in the Central American, what was going on in the wars down there and all our interventionism, but they are very active in arms supplying and all sorts of dirty dealings currently in the Middle East. So I'd urge anybody interested in that and how these folks have kept their careers going to check out Democracy Now!, look up the officials, and as well as the Guardian newspapers. Thanks for calling.
And the fact is that from the time of the first banana exports to the United States in the 1800s, the U.S. government has been involved in Guatemala at the behest of the companies who have strong ties to Washington. These companies have investors in Washington. They did, and they still do. And Washington has always been willing and able to listen to them and provide them backup by calling people communists or saying that they're against, that the country is not promoting the interests of the United States or acknowledging the investment there.
And we have another caller online. If you'd like to join the discussion, we're here just till 7, so be sure and get that call in at 503-231-8187.
And I think it's Joe?
No, my name is Story.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we needed a severe adjustment here. America itself is a colony of global
finance and transnational corporations. We're not different from Guatemala. The American people themselves are being victimized by being propagandized. And the practices that were directed at Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, they are home. They are here. The American people themselves, very often I hear the American people blamed, but the American people as a body have not been complicit in with full knowledge in the exploitation and destructive activity toward other people. They themselves are victims for having been propagandized and deceived by their it's not our own government anymore. We're a colony. We got to get that through our heads.
I agree with you. And, you know, yeah. The people of Guatemala, by and large, distinguish Americans from the American government.
Yeah, but I hear very often that the American people themselves are being accused of this as though they willingly were complicit in this. They have been betrayed by the government, which is no longer a sovereign government of the United States. It's a colony. We are a colony. We are considered just human capital like human capital anywhere.
And
unless we grasp that and grasp also that the same techniques that have been practiced.
And we're going to that the caller makes a very good point. Is it our responsibility? Are we being so propagandized that we cannot know what's going on in the world, that we can't do anything about it? It's an excellent point, it's a very good point. But on the other hand, it takes away our responsibility, which is a responsibility to learn, to care about the world. If we eat bananas, drink coffee, if we travel to a foreign country, you know, visit the people. Maybe we want to learn about why they're poor. I was told by a young tourist, maybe 22 years old, she's going to go work on an organic farm in El Salvador. And she said to me, she just couldn't understand why people were so poor. And I said, well, there was a war and their land did get taken away, many of the farmers, and the conversation didn't go anywhere. So what are your thoughts? We just have a few more minutes, 503-231-8187.
Well, on the other hand, we ran into a coffee roaster from Bend who was touring Lake Atitlan, the various small coffee plantations, because he wanted to know exactly where the beans he buys are coming from. He didn't know about the Civil War, but was anxious to learn about it. And I think that's the place we start. We have a responsibility to know. Yes, our government believes that corporations are people. We have a responsibility to change that. And please give us a call. We have just a couple of minutes left. 503-231-8187. Caller, go ahead.
I think we have Mitch.
Yeah. Oh, hello. Thanks for doing this program, and I hope I won't spread the focus beyond what's very important to focus on here, which is the trial in Guatemala and how little information we're getting out of it. But I remember in the 1980s there was some independent journalism about what's known as the Inslaw case, INSLAW. It was a software package that some Israeli developers put together that was going to track subversives, and the Israelis were using it on the Palestinians, but it had such application that Washington wanted to use it in Central America. But then it wound up going to court in a proprietary dispute because Washington claimed it had developed it. The Israelis claimed it developed it, and there was some guy named Michael Reconosciuto who went to jail. And no Israelis and no Washington officials went to jail from the Justice Department, but this guy, Michael Reconosciuto, is probably still sitting in jail, and yet that software package was what allowed the generals in Guatemala to track the Mayans and commit what has been called genocidal levels of murder in Guatemala. Has anything about that come out in the trials in Guatemala?
I doubt it. If folks who want to find out more about the trial, there's some information at riosmonttrial.org, and there's documentation of all the testimony. Basically, they're hearing from witnesses.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is mostly to date, they've been hearing from about 12 witnesses a day, and these are the indigenous descendants of the Maya who were targeted from the Ishil region primarily. But I think that it's an interesting point and something certainly to look into for those who are interested in why and how this happened. And before we exit, I just wanted to say, I want to make it clear that this is the first genocide trial of a former head of state in the Americas. Perhaps it's not the last.
And the other important note to remember is all the people that made this happen. Watch the film Granito, and it's very inspiring. Thanks for tuning in.
Reveal all the blood. Oh, great cave of smoke. Oh, children of stones. What beautiful birth. So short is your road. For justice, but will there be goodness when men kill their own? Our wise people say that the mouth of the earth has swallowed a fruit, but the eagle and snake
stand. KBOO Portland. You were just listening to Bread and Roses. It's 7:02. So coming up next is Heart Knock Radio. So keep it locked.
everybody. Welcome to another edition. It is Hard Knock Radio. Davey D hanging out with you this afternoon. On today's show, we're going to play the first of two parts of a big panel discussion called Run It Back. It focuses on hip-hop and activism. Our guests include everybody from Boots Riley to M1 from Dead Prez, Jahi, Aisha, Fashuko. We also have Mark Gonzalez, Star, and a whole bunch of other folks. All that and more coming up.
Once again, Brother Hussein, excellent, excellent job. I want to thank all of our speakers. They did phenomenal today. Also want to thank our sponsor, AUP, Zach up here. Once again, thank Imani. We're now going to turn over to our panel. We have Davey D, and you can take him here. Give it up for Davey, please.
And what we want to do today, we want to talk about reimagining hip-hop and activism. What does that really mean in 2013? And the guests that we have here, many of them could hold court by themselves, and they frequently do.